Wait, no.
No, that's the wrong one. Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo?
Wrong holiday, folks. Oh. Welcome to your home for all the nerd news you need to know. Welcome to AU Radio. It's our Thanksgiving special. Woo! Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
And there's going to be a whole lot of gobbling in this episode. With us over at the Caterpillar Cafe Comics Corner today, we've got George.
Well, hello there.
Well, hello there. Over at the Adventures Underground News Desk, we've got Corey.
Green Goblin. No?
No.
Hobgoblin?
Okay, Dad. Coming in from the Dumpster Diaries, it's Dumpster Diary Derek.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Did you hear that they redid that?
Yeah, it's garbage. Yeah, it's total trash. I have thoughts on that.
Okay.
And I am 100% pro Me Too.
Yeah. And I
have thoughts on changing the words to that song.
So the original, I got to say, the original is just complete utter. It's not an okay thing, but the remake was just atrocious. So
garbage.
Look it up, folks.
Dumpster fire.
Sitting in as a special guest today, we've got Gus Gustafsson.
Hello, everybody.
Cutthroat Island!
Cutthroat Island!
The dude on the couch. Of course, over on the control panel, welcome back, Sam, from your not a really hiatus break that we didn't give you.
No?
I don't know. You weren't going to be here.
I'm still totally confused about what the f*** happened.
This is going to be a good one. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I, of course, am your plucky turkey, Donnie. This is episode 23, Miss Castaways.
Oh.
Hi-o.
Oh.
And I get the dad joke.
I hope you
can see this because I'm doing... Yeah, I agree. That ball totally miscast.
Completely. It should have been a Spalding.
Yeah.
Spalding!
Yes. Yes,
he could have been a captain.
Do you think Wilson Sports, whatever they are, got paid a promotion to have that ball featured?
Yes,
as
I do.
The volleyball.
I half wonder if it was the other way around.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Is if it's a paid advertisement, like
they just
pay volleyball companies.
Okay,
who wants to be in the next Tom Hanks movie? War.
Okay, Corey. Okay,
could be.
Think they licensed the right to, you know, use the volleyball with a face on it afterwards.
Talking to the mic.
Oh, yeah.
Well. Right.
We got it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, okay. So the reason I came up with this topic was I was reading one of those Looper video things. It was like 10 things you didn't know about the Shawshank Redemption. And the one that
did you impossible. Not know any of them?
Right. Impossible.
One. Okay. I did not know.
Yeah.
And the one that I didn't know was Charlie Sheen went on a full-blown promotional tour trying to get cast as Andy Dufresne.
Sheen. Oh, that would have been
like he was
horrid.
All over Hollywood trying to get cast as Andy Dufresne. And
that would okay, simmer. No, simmer down. Simmer.
We're listening.
Is everyone properly simmered?
Not quite.
I'm very whelmed at this point.
Light and bubbly.
You know what? I'm at that time. Charlie Sheen is a really good actor.
He is.
He went bat guano crazy.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Sam.
I saw it coming.
He's a fantastic actor, and I'm not sure that he couldn't have done justice to that role,
way Tim Robbins did.
But we don't know. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, Katie. I just punched Katie's mic into her face. She's not here. We don't know that. Like, we wouldn't know that, right?
Alternate timeline.
But Tim Robbins, I mean, literally... So 20 years later, it's become a completely iconic thing. So I can't guano on that. Because it could have been great with Charlie Sheen.
I don't know. For me, Tim Robbins had
a naivete
about him that I think fit that role so
totally
well.
Totally agree.
Where Charlie Sheen at that point was so established. I mean, he had done Apocalypse Now.
What? Platoon? No, not a platoon.
Platoon.
That was his dad.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. No, he'd done Platoon. He had gotten some acclaim for that. But I don't think he could have pulled off that the sweet, sincere part of Andy Dufresne properly.
No, listen, I'm not advocate before I get slayed on social media because so many of you comment on how great we are.
Thanks, AJ. I do really appreciate you
very much.
We love you, buddy.
I'm not advocating for one or the other. What I'm saying is I can't on the possibility.
You were doing so good.
Dang
it. You were doing great.
I tried, Sam.
I'm just sitting here waiting.
I can't crap on the possibility of Charlie turning that into something that, and it might have been a totally different movie at that point.
Right. Well, yeah. Do you think it would still be one of the greatest movies ever made?
It might have, but it wouldn't have been the same. I mean, that's like, hello, we know that. But it might have been a totally different movie. But no, I think Tim Robbins was the absolutely perfect choice for that film.
Let's just go ahead and throw caution to the wind and we'll go ahead and we've got Charlie Sheen as Andy Dufresne and Keith David as Red.
Actually, they were trying to get Robert Redford as Red.
Oh my God. So now I want to see that movie.
I actually, yes. Yeah, that'd be all right.
Yeah.
That'd be all right.
So we're talking
about. I want Emilio in there. I want a working.
Emilio!
I want a working man or men at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like sequel.
Prison movie.
Prison movie. That's what I want.
So we're talking about being miscast. What roles do you think where the movie could have been just phenomenal if they hadn't miscast so poorly? I made myself a list, but I want to hear what some of your guys' choices are.
Jennifer Garner as Elektra.
Yes, that's a good one.
I could totally agree with that man from the couch.
I'm on board with that.
That's a good pull.
So let me ask on that one, because personally, I don't think that movie would have been good with anybody really cast, because the writing of that movie,
the script is horrible.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if anybody could have actually saved that movie.
Yeah.
Do you think it was Jennifer Garner's acting? Because I agree. I don't think she was was a good role for her.
That movie was a dumpster fire altogether. Yeah.
So
I don't think that having the best.
Are we talking about Elektra, or are we talking about Daredevil? Because she plays the character in two different movies.
Right. Well neither of the movies are great.
No.
The movie Elektra specifically.
Okay. I just wanted to know what we were talking about.
No, but I agree. I think she was miscast as Elektra. I think they could have gotten somebody a lot more exotic, isn't the right word, but more.
I look at the Elektra that they put in the Daredevil series on Netflix.
Yes.
Like they did a fantastic job with that character on that series.
What about Olivia Munn as Elektra?
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
So it's funny. She's actually on my list.
For Psylocke?
So her as Psylocke and then Oscar Isaacs as Apocalypse. I think those were two huge miscasts in that movie.
Yeah.
I think for Apocalypse, they should have got the guy who played the mummy in the mummy. I think he would have made an amazing Apocalypse.
That's awesome casting. That's a cool idea.
That there again, though, I think that's another example of the acting wasn't really their fault. I think it was poor writing for the script.
There's so many variables. So that's what's tough.
With Age of Apocalypse, I actually enjoy parts of that movie. I think that movie had a lot of potential. I think there were cuts made that didn't make any sense, and there was definitely casting that didn't make a lot of sense. I like Olivia Munn back in the Tech TV days.
Yeah.
I don't think she's that strong of an actress. She had potential in the newsroom. I think
she was awesome.
I think she had great potential in the newsroom, but as a ninja Asian assassin,
Could Olivia Munn played April O'Neil?
Better than so that's actually one of the ones I was gonna bring up.
Megan Fox
as April O'Neil.
She was the it girl at the time.
I think she was on the backslide at that point.
April O'Neil is a hard casting though, because you can't play her in this day and age. You can't play her like she was in the cartoons. you can't play her as all bubbly and kind of an airhead, and she's got to be her own hero.
No, right, but what about, I mean, the chick that played her in the original Ninja Turtles movie played a hard-nosed detective.
Perfect.
Or journalist. She was rad.
She was perfect.
Now, the one in 3 was horrible.
They changed April in the 3? Yeah.
They changed. Mm-hmm. They had a different April in every movie.
Did they?
Yeah.
Huh. I'll have to go back and watch those. I try to watch those three with very rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
I can't go back and dissect them because it'll ruin a huge chunk of my childhood.
Right, right.
So
you go to your closet and you take the expectations hat and you put it in the corner and you throw a bunch of dirty laundry on it.
Yeah.
And you have no expectations.
Because even though it was panned as the worst, Turtles in Time for me was one of my favorite.
I was down, dude. Movie. I love that movie. Yeah.
Love it.
It's fantastic.
I love it.
So,
and Ernie Rice Jr. is Donatello again.
Yep.
Which was dope.
The 340 plus year old people in the room are the ones that love that movie. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. You have to take into consideration. Hey guys, let's talk about Surf Ninjas.
Cello.
That's an actor. Honestly, I don't think he, for the contributions he's given to cinema over the years, he has not nearly gotten enough credit.
Ernie Rice Jr.?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Come on, man. He's in everything. Yeah.
So, the two of you, I'll ask, do you remember the show where he was a kid, ninja master, and he had like an uncle that raised him?
Yeah.
It was on ABC.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap.
Yes.
I don't think that's what it was called, but yeah.
No.
That was...
But it's hitting you now, right?
Nope, I gotta go home. I need to go find that show on the dark web. I love that show.
If it was on ABC, we've got a chance of it.
It's possible.
Coming up on Disney Plus. That'd be sick.
So I had a few others here. Matthew McConaughey in Dark Tower, I think, was a
horrible casting.
Well, you know what? But that I could also argue that could be some of the writing and direction.
Could be.
I could argue that because Matthew McConaughey, he hits a lot of home runs.
I'm not arguing that point. I just don't think he was right for Randall Flagg.
So it's funny. I'm
agree. Yeah, agree.
I thought it was Roland. No, that was Idris.
Roland
Elba.
Idris Elba. Yes. And that was Idris. Rad.
Yeah. Roland as Idris was spot on.
Yeah, but I want to cast Idris as everything. I love Idris Elba.
Can we just have a movie where he's every character? Because I want to see that. Yes.
There you go. John Malkovich and being John Malkovich. Completely miscast. So
who would you have cast as that?
Oh, my God. We have alienated at this
John
point
Ritter.
Everyone. Rest in peace, John Ritter.
Yeah.
It was his birthday a couple days ago.
Yeah.
God damn.
Much,
guy
much
was
love,
amazing.
Jack Tripper.
See, I think McConaughey, he does. I'm reading Michael Caine's biography right now, and I think he does what Michael Caine recommends. The only way you can do a lot of good movies is by just doing a lot of movies, and then it's going to be a 50-50 wash in the end. You're either going to have a lot of really good movies and a lot of really bad movies.
It's the same thing. Okay, I know.
And I think that's where...
That guy in PCU wrote his whole thesis about that.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Every movie was either Michael Caine or Gene Hackman.
Dude, I'm telling you guys right now, listen, I know I'm going to get blasted for this, and the social media is going to be on fire. Hashtag smash that like or share, whatever. I gotta relate this to sports because that's where I grew up. But in basketball is the number one analogy for what you just said, Donnie. There are basketball players and they're the one, they shoot 100 times a game and they make 50 of them.
Yeah.
And they're the high scorers of the league and everyone goes crazy, but they're shooting the most. No one reports that
they missed.
They 80. Missed. Yeah.
Yeah.
They missed 80 of those.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take 1,000 shots, you're going to have some home runs to mix sports.
Oh, my God. Listen to me.
No, I was
trying. Wait.
I was trying to make it for, you know.
Are you saying you miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
Oh,
yes, he is.
Yes.
Oh. Listen, 60% of the time.
It works every time.
It works every time.
So I had a curveball of one because it's a bit of a controversial one that comes up from time to time. But as we, most of us in the room really enjoyed the Hellboy movie that came out this year.
Yeah.
I loved it.
That movie was maligned with a bunch of bad casting reportings. Like, the main one was Captain Daimyo. Is that was going to be, what's that guy's name? The guy that was a bad guy in Deadpool.
The bad guy from Deadpool.
Was going to be
a Russian dude or something.
Yeah. And he was going to be an Asian character.
Yeah.
And they immediately got lambasted by the whole social media because that's whitewashing in probably one of the worst examples of it happening. Just there was a lot of history with that character, and making him white is not on par with what the story was. It would have changed a lot.
Yeah.
So they got Daniel Day Kim to do it, and he did an okay job. He did a pretty good job, I would even say.
Yeah.
But he didn't quite grasp all of the character. Like, he was a little one-dimensional.
Right.
And that's fine, but it's just that even if you fix the whitewashing, you still might not get that perfect cast member.
You know what's funny is that's yet another movie I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, Waldo, I love him. Mm-hmm. Ian McShane should not have been Broom.
No, and he was... So that one was the one that I felt eventually, after a little bit of time thinking about it, it didn't land the way that I think they wanted it to. And then the other one that I believe was as good as it could be was David Harbour, and everybody gave it a hard time for not being Ron Perlman.
Well, that's just an uphill battle.
Right.
You know, you're never going to get back. Nobody bitched when Kenny Baker stopped being R2-D2. That's dumb. Oh,
okay. Yeah, right. I got to stop
you
here.
He's not R2 anymore.
He's been dead for 30 years.
Who the hell's R2? R2 is like another person. Yeah, he's a tin can. So let's not get crazy here. But... it's a little bit different when you're talking about actors, you know, makeup. Corey?
Yes, sir.
That was a stupid... That was a terrible analogy.
No, it was a good joke. And
it didn't land.
I don't care. I guarantee you somebody is going to like it.
So a few of the others I had written down...
I don't just perform for you.
Dance, monkey.
Hayden Christensen cast as Anakin.
I hate Hayden Christensen in everything he's ever done.
Oh.
Which is nothing but Anakin.
Yeah.
No.
That's pretty bad.
So I saw a movie right before Anakin called My Life is a House.
When he gives hand jobs to guys in cars.
Yes,
yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stand him in that one.
You might want to bleep that. I don't know.
He's just a whiny...
Kevin Kline was his dad in that movie, and he had cancer.
Yeah. Which, it's a really good movie, except for Hayden Christensen. So,
you know,
he ruins everything he's in. So.
Listen, I still have a problem with George Lucas erasing the original Anakin in Return of the Jedi and inserting Ghost Hayden Christensen when the Ewoks are celebrating victory.
I agree because I hate every single part of it. The problem with that is he did that, yet he didn't remove Alec Guinness and put in Ewan McGregor.
If you remove Alec Guinness, I will burn the town down.
You'd be okay.
I'm fine.
I'm okay. I don't know about this.
Listen, you don't go after Alec Guinness.
No, I'm not.
He wasn't.
I'm not. I'm making a point. I know. You're absolutely right.
I'm with you.
Sorry. So, the cockamamie logic was that George Lucas said that he replaced him because that was when Anakin died, is when he stopped being that. But that's not true, because he finds redemption at the end of his life. So absolutely. Why not keep
it?
Yeah. It's stupid. No. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. No,
Who is that?
I forget the name of the
Prowess?
Actor.
David Prowess?
David Prowess was in the suit.
But
the
not
face
the,
was a third guy.
Oh, it was Billy Joel.
Play me a song.
Sing us a song. You're the piano man. If you guys don't know that Darth Vader in the original trilogy was three different people, Corey is going to come to your house and hit you in the head with a tack hammer because you're not a fan.
I got a story to tell you about tech cameras and hitting people later.
Okay, shut up.
Let's see. We
have Uncle Donnie, carry on.
Jake Gyllenhaal is Prince of Persia.
Stupid.
Okay, yeah. So a lot of these whitewashing ones are really horrible. I agree.
Okay, I got to play part of Katie because she sits next to me. This is the stupidest thing I ever heard of. I cannot even imagine that you would cast Jake Gyllenhaal
As Bubble Boy.
Wait, that worked. I'm sorry. Carry on. Love you, Katie.
So the next one is just a really my personal opinion, and probably nobody will agree with me. But David Thewis, who played Ares in the Wonder Woman movie, I think was...
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
No, I agree, too.
Yeah.
He played the Minister of Magic in Harry Potter and then went to the God of War.
Yeah, that was way wrong.
Just the CG that they had on the end scene where he was in the suit, like, it just was awkward.
It was not convincing.
Yeah. And
him as a God of War, period, I was like,
agreed.
Really?
Agreed.
Hey, that's And then the last one I've got, actually, I got two more. I've got Halle Berry as Catwoman.
Atrocious.
And I that's another one where I don't know if that was a Halle Berry 100% issue or a script issue.
100%. Listen,
it was a script issue.
So, exactly. Script and direction. I've
You know what the problem with that is?
That woman, listen, she is one of those it people.
Like, no, I know.
She's Sam.
Don't get mad at him.
I'm sorry, Sam. No, I'm not mad. I'm like, I'm really mad at myself because I
watched Halle Berry in an interview when she said, you know, when fans come up to me and they're like, oh, I love Catwoman. She's like, really?
You know what? You know,
like
what
she said that in an interview, late night talk show. She's like,
the problem with that is they should have just put her in the Michelle Pfeiffer costume. And let it be Eartha Kitt playing the same character as Julie Newmar. Like, trying to change the whole story and make her a whole different
character. But that's
Catwoman.
The director. Yeah. That's not Halle Berry's fault.
I didn't say it was Halle Berry's fault.
Okay, but, Corey, okay.
You know, I'm just saying. You quit playing with my pistol.
Stop.
We got to bleep
freezing.
That.
I find it weird that he hasn't pointed right at himself. That's odd.
And my final one, and I've talked about this like 100 episodes ago, but Valerian in the World of Tomorrow, the two leads they had cast in that.
Dude had less chemistry than fourth grade. And my God.
I think that movie could have been something special for this generation if they had cast that differently.
Yeah. If they were individual leads in that movie, like if they weren't there together, I think they might have done okay. But like,
I don't know. Those two sucked all the oxygen out of the room every scene they were in.
Yeah.
It wasn't just them together. It was neither of them were very.
That was a Luke Benson movie, wasn't it? Or Besson, or however you say it.
Yes. The same guy that did Fifth Element?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Which,
and it feels like he was kind of trying to rip off of some of that.
Well, it could have been the Fifth Element for this generation if the casting had been different.
Didn't have no Bruce Willis.
No. Well, it didn't have, like I said, those two just fell so flat that you didn't want to watch them, but you wanted to watch the movie. Like, if you could, you know, CG them out completely and just watch what was going on without them, it would have been a fine movie, in my opinion.
I didn't think they were that bad, but I'll have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, the girl with the eyebrows, I couldn't. She took me out of it. And then the guy, I don't think he could act out of a paper bag.
All right. All right. I've been letting this lie for a while.
I thought you just farted.
No. I don't. God, his name escapes me now, and it's gonna make me mad.
Context.
Now you see me.
Now you don't.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Hi-yo.
That's Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yeah. Right.
No. I never saw. No, you.
Oh, now you see me. Is that the magic one?
Yeah.
Okay. The brother of what's his face?
Nope.
Was that the Kevin Spacey one?
James McAvoy's brother.
No.
Not McAvoy. No.
The kid that's Michael Cera but isn't.
Right.
From Zombieland.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes. Are we really doing this right now?
No, we got it.
Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor. Absolutely heinous casting.
That was stupid.
I have to respectfully disagree with you on that one.
What?
Fight.
So, hold on.
Fight. Fight.
I'm the middleman, but go ahead.
And fight.
No, okay. So the Lex Luthor he's playing, there was a Lex Luthor where he had orange curly hair.
Oh,
and
no,
he was
I know that.
That's the character, and he played that character perfectly. And
all right.
And honestly, we're going back to at that point then, that was a scripting issue all over the board.
Okay, so scripting issue as opposed to casting issue. Kevin Spacey, hashtag me too, is absolutely horrid in Superman Returns because they wouldn't let him play Lex Luthor. They made him play Gene Hackman.
I agree completely. And that is one of my biggest beefs with that little slim window of comic book movies that came out right around Superman Returns.
Like early 2000s.
Right.
Yeah.
We had
mid 2000s.
We were just getting rid of the campy Batman movies. We've got this one. We're starting to get to where they're taking comic book movies
seriously.
It's not quite
Superman
there
Returns was not quite there yet.
Right.
You've got Cal Penn in that movie, basically playing the stupid henchman role.
Yeah.
You've got, what's her name? That gal that you cannot stand as Lex
Parker Posey.
Parker Posey as the airheaded girlfriend. They kept doing the surround Lex Luthor with the biggest buffoons ever, which that's not Lex Luthor today.
No.
You've got Mercy, who quite possibly one of the best hench people to ever be written.
Yeah.
And they won't go that route for some reason. The John Cryer had a Mercy in the Supergirl. And I don't hate John Cryer as Lex Luthor. I know I'm in a minority with that.
I actually like him as Lex Luthor in that.
Yeah,
I really did.
But it's basically you've got people who write Lex Luthor who either A, remember him from the 50s and 60s comics, or you've got people who actually have read a comic in the last decade.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fair. Have you read the standalone comic Luthor?
Luthor. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Great example.
Matter
use
of,
that.
Can yes. I, can Matter I, of fact, I wore a Luthor for President pin nice. For a good decade of my life.
Yeah, that's true. There you go.
Can I say something here?
Yes, please.
For someone that has admittedly chastised DC for being garbage, because I don't like DC.
Agree to disagree.
I'm not a Superman fan.
This is a safe place. You can share your opinion.
Thank you. Thank you, Jorge. I think Ben Kingsley would be the greatest Lex Luthor of all time.
Not anymore. I think he's past his prime for that role.
So, man, I think he could.
Nah.
He's a classically trained actor.
Dude, what about Picard?
I've heard that Picard.
No, back in the day.
Back in the day.
I still think with Picard, I think you get too many comparisons to.
What if he never played Picard? Oh, okay.
If he never played Picard, game over.
No, okay. Now hear me out. What about Idris Elba?
don't laugh.
Julia Roberts.
I'm in.
Julia Roberts.
I'm in.
Hey.
I'm back to last week, Don.
Okay. All right.
Not as a counter to Idris Elba being Lex Luthor, but as a bad casting choice.
What about?
Is that what you're saying?
No. If no one had ever played. I mean, we already have it in our mind. I think if they came, George, that's a fantastic question. That guy's a phenomenal actor, Idris Elba. If they came out with a Superman tomorrow and he was the Lex Luthor, I'd be on board.
I'd be all about it.
Because I trust that he is a fantastic actor and he's going to play the part.
All right. You know, my mind goes stupid places.
Yes.
So follow me.
Many times.
A Kingdom Come era.
Yes.
Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Is Patrick Stewart. Superman, Ian McKellen. And they have to join forces, and it's a Superman Lex Luthor buddy cop movie from the Kingdom Come universe.
Fighting Magog and all the young men.
I think McKellen would play the older broken Batman in Kingdom Come.
Yeah!
I think that might be a much better casting.
Dude, that's
very
actually
good
really
point.
Good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I can't believe you just said that.
Hey, man. I'm here to say
Have you guys seen Brandon Routh as Kingdom Come Superman for the crossover they're doing?
No, not yet.
No.
They grayed up the sides, gave him the Kingdom Come suit.
The black and red?
Yes.
Oh, that's
he
so cool.
He looks amazing. So
Brandon Routh, again, talking about the faults that Brett Ratner, mm-hmm. no. Singer.
Brian Singer.
Okay, the things he's destroyed because he was trying to make a sequel to Superman.
He was.
Superman Returns was supposed to be a sequel or like a halfway point through Superman 2.
So
kind of
only saving grace in him having Kevin Spacey play Gene Hackman. The follow up.
No,
mentality.
I understand.
No,
that.
I know it wasn't as good as it could have been. But
no, what the point I'm getting at is exactly that. But it's Brandon Routh played an amazing Christopher Reeve.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
But I think that dude could have been an awesome Superman on his own.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Without having to be shoehorned into being Christopher Reeves.
Him as Ray Palmer on Legends of Tomorrow proves
fabulous.
That. Yes, so
fabulous.
Good. Like, and he, like, he could be a little quirkier Superman, like, because he is heart of gold, like, you know, Ray Palmer.
Yeah.
But, you know, with a little bit more tech stuff going on and a little more quirkiness.
He's also the vegan bass player from Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Scott That's Pilgrim. Right. Yeah. Did you say back in 3 and 2?
Back in 2 and 2.
Back in 2 and 2.
And that goes back to that movie just happened to land in just quite, it wasn't in the right time to be made.
Yeah.
I think if that movie had been made 5 years in the future, it would have been a totally different movie.
I don't think.
And it'd be acclaimed instead of ridiculed.
I don't think Bryan Singer is the director.
No.
It was right
I
for
think,
it.
I think that Singer dude, and the other guy you brought up.
Billy Johnson.
Brett Ratner.
Brett Ratner. I think they were directors for their time for comic book movies, but this day and age, I don't think they could.
They couldn't hack it. But what it comes down to is that guy screwed up two franchises with one movie.
Yes, he did.
Because he made X-Men, or he left X-Men Last Stand.
Yep.
And it was a dumpster fire.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah, come on, shut up and get out of here.
Yeah, but
there's, that is crap casting.
Yes.
I love Vinnie Jones,
yep.
But no,
nope.
That was terrible.
Wasn't Bryan Singer embroiled in an entire, sexual...
So was Brett Ratner.
Yeah, both of them, me too.
Hashtag me too.
Okay, small shout out for the bad casting. Paul Giamatti is the Rhino in that one Spider-Man movie. Yeah,
let's not talk about that movie.
Okay.
Or Jamie Foxx is Electro. Again.
Oh. Wait. I opened a wound.
Yeah. Aside from Jamie Foxx, listen, Paul Giamatti does no wrong.
Well, yeah,
so
sure.
That is a perfect product of garbage to work with. Garbage in, garbage out.
I'm gonna say this. I don't think Andrew Garfield was good casting.
He nailed the mopey, depressed, down on his luck Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and that's the Spider-Man that almost nobody likes.
He was too cool to be Peter Parker.
Too cool for school.
Okay. Just plain
that's fair. That's fair.
Yes, he did play mopey Spider-Man well, but it's the same with Val Kilmer was a crap Batman, but he was a good Bruce Wayne.
That's fair. Yeah. Yep.
Let's move on to some news since we apparently eaten up half the show today.
I want to keep this argument going.
Yeah, because I have more thoughts on Spider-Man.
Okay, hey.
That Val Kilmer
we'll
point.
Save this for next week. This will be our Thanksgiving special.
No, well, we need some news. We need some news.
Do we?
I think we can keep going on this argument.
We're arguing
around the Thanksgiving table over scotch. That's what would happen.
Well, it's a thing. It happens.
I can only think of one miscast I did not like.
Which was?
Starbuck from the new Battlestar Galactica series.
I'm going to fight you.
Yeah, Sam.
Really?
I thought she was just a terrible actor.
Sam,
I hate you so much.
That's not the hill you want to die on, Sam.
I'm okay with that.
That's not the one you want to...
What's that actress's name?
Katie Sackhoff.
Sackhoff, and she's astounding on that show.
She's a saint, man.
I would take her out for a steak dinner.
She earned a cameo on The Big Bang Theory because of that role.
As herself in a bathtub.
Yeah.
With George Takei.
There you go.
Yeah.
She was also in the backseat of a car.
She's done a few scenes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But she's stellar on Longmire. She's awesome on Longmire.
Never seen it.
She's also really good. She's a mutant in the Flash, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 That chick that controls the metal and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And she's supposed to be doing one of the crossover episodes with somebody else. I can't remember who they cast her as.
Starbuck.
I like Katie Sackhoff. Everybody
else gets to be in that crossover. Why not her?
I disagree. Did you draw a penis on that tablet?
Yeah, because he hates
you a dick.
Yeah, we're all dicks.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm just... trying to figure out how you would even imagine that.
I'll show it to you when we're done.
Your mind's got
to
be pretty...
No, it's right. I'll show you. From this angle, I'll show you.
Donnie, the news that we don't need and nobody wants.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
Shots fired.
Star Wars.
Okay. Okay, Donnie.
Star Wars.
Don't let me stop you, Corey.
So
are you doing the Love Boat?
No, I'm doing Bill Murray, remember?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Star Wars is like the lounge singer.
Yeah.
Nobody's starting out loud.
So the text.
George, God.
Thank you. Thank you, Cage. I love you, bro.
The toxic fandom that is the Star Wars fans have actually united over the last couple weeks and are praising the Star Wars product again.
Mandalorian is worth it.
Mandalorian, and there was a game launched over the last 2 weeks.
Fallen Order. Yeah. Fallen Order is fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it so much.
I've only got to watch it. I've had no time to play it.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my 12-year-old, on Saturday night, November 30th, my Jackson will turn 13. I have a teenager in the house.
Yeah, buddy.
He has ate up every second of that game, and he says it's one of the best games he's ever played.
My son, who doesn't play anything other than Roblox.
Who you've admittedly said doesn't like anything.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, I got it as an early Christmas present. And I got about an hour and a half into it. And then I booted it up the next day. And my son's like, can I play? And I'm like, sure. What harm can it do? And I let him play my guy. And he just started transferring to planet to planet. And just no side quests, no finishing anything. He just started traveling everywhere. And I'm like, we're starting you a new account.
Yeah, you're going to get your own profile.
He's put hours into that game. I'm jealous that he's
good. It's amazing,
I'm jealous that he's in the middle of his Thanksgiving break right now, that he gets to spend the time to play that game.
That's amazing.
But the game's amazing. Well, let's talk a little bit about The Mandalorian.
Mando. Oh,
fantastic.
I hate it.
I hate that they're using that name in the show. Yeah. Not just like as a fan nickname. No, but they're calling him Mando in the show. And that is my biggest
surprise. Here's what I hate. Two of my all-time favorite franchises.
Let's not start with what we love. Let's not start with what we love. Let's start with what we hate.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
We're missing Katie, so we need to start with what we hate. I love you, Katie. Two of my favorite franchise blockbuster people are now in Star Wars. I love Billy Dee.
Yeah.
As Lando.
Yeah.
And I've always had a soft spot for Carl Weathers as Apollo in the Rocky.
Okay.
Fandom.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
But I
got something to follow this up with.
It really hurts my heart that Carl Weathers, Apollo Creed, is the man that coined the nickname Mando, because I hate the nickname Mando. Okay. Continue.
Okay. First off,
small potatoes, Derek. Come on.
Let's go ahead and throw Katie under the bus.
No,
No, listen to me. I'm going to do this.
Okay. It's fine.
Katie,
it's Corey.
Katie is a bit of an internet celebrity on the app TikTok.
Never heard of it.
Hey, don't laugh. It's not a fake news statement. That's
she's got several thousand followers and
tens of thousands.
And if you're actually from TikTok, Jesus, and you've come here from her, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Come here from her. I don't even know what we're speaking language.
Just let him tell the story.
Let me finish.
Let me tell you something.
So, can I finish? So she was TikToking her reactions to the first episode, and she called Carl Weathers Billy in her video.
Oh.
And I said, did you think that was Billy Dee Williams? And she goes, isn't it? And I was like, you racist ginger.
Wow.
Yow. Not all black people look the same. That's Apollo Creed.
Speaking of Apollo Creed.
Oh, she's going to be mad.
Did you see the picture our president posted of himself today?
Oh, can we?
Of him pardoning the turkey?
Let's not.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let's not even.
I heard that turkey had ties to Russia.
He actually posted this picture on his Twitter today, folks.
Okay, so
not a political podcast, okay, Uncle Donnie.
You're gonna bring up Rocky. This is the only Rocky thing I've got in my arsenal.
I'm gonna pull back. We're gonna talk about Mandalorian.
Yay!
Mandalorian has been 2.99% perfect.
Yes, totally agree.
It. All but one scene has been gold to me.
And that scene?
Is the heinous...
Disney's The Rocketeer.
Cheese dick reference to The Rocketeer. Which I love The Rocketeer. I love it. But that scene sucked all the wind out of the sails of that episode for me. And
the very end?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even mind the I've got to get me one of those. I don't mind those kinds of comments.
That was funny.
Yeah. But the guy, the Mandalorian in the heavy blaster armor, literally jetpack flying next to the ship and then saluting the Mandalorian was the lamest thing in the Star Wars universe, and I'm including Jar Jar in this. I hated that so much. It was like so completely unnecessary for anything.
So the actual news I've got for the Mandalorian, there's talks.
Bring on the hate train.
Yeah, unfortunately.
No.
Unfortunately, the Mandalorian may be reintroducing midichlorians.
Nope.
The midichlorians have never been gone.
Not going
to
happen.
Okay, well, you can hate them all you want. It's still canon. You have to accept the fact that they're in the storyline.
Put them in.
Yeah.
They're there.
It's you can disagree with it all you want and think that it's dumb, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue one point or another. It's part of the canon, and you have to accept the fact that these guys who are forging forward in the Star Wars universe into unknown areas, unknown territories, have to mine everything that's been laid before them to create that universe and keep it going.
Up to and including the Rocketeer.
I hate midichlorians. I'm in that group.
You know what's funny is everybody hates the midichlorians. And a lot of people hate a lot of stuff about Phantom Menace. You know what the biggest beef to me about Phantom Menace is? The communicators were Lady Bic Razors.
Yeah,
and that really bothers
me. That's ridiculous.
Because I knew what it was when I saw it in the theater because my wife had one at home. And I was like, that is a Lady Bic Razor painted gray. That's all that is.
So all I'll say about the midichlorians is it's at this point, like you said, it's canon.
Yeah.
It's there. So it's almost a disservice to not address it at some point. Agree.
Yeah.
So continue.
The other bit of bad Mandalorian news is Disney Store this week put up their first Baby Yoda.
This is what I thought you were going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, no, it gets. Yeah. So
it's just cheesy shirts.
It's not just cheesy shirts. They're very poorly. They basically took the Baby Yoda, took a screen cap of him on the screen.
A grainy one,
and put them on a t-shirt like you could do at your own
vintage.
Etsy shop.
Yeah. That's vintage,
no,
bro.
No, it doesn't work.
The 90s really is alive. Bad. It's vintage.
And you saw that shirt, Derek. You can't defend that. You said you agreed with me.
It's so garbage. No, listen, I do. I'm playing country.
I agree with Favreau and Filoni's idea to hold back the merch so it wasn't spoiling the show.
Right. And that's,
but it still should have been put into production.
Well, here's the problem.
We would have known about it.
So the was reason, it from Disney? Right.
Yes. What, it was the actual Disney store that put these up.
Then that's
they're horrible.
Stupid.
So the reason there will be no Disney or no Baby Yoda merch for Christmas was Favreau wanted to keep Baby Yoda a secret, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. When you put in
Little Kevin, sorry.
Right, Little Kevin.
Little Kevin.
Little Kevin, yo.
Kevin McAllister.
Anyway,
speaking of which, Cash coined a term for the race.
Oh my God.
Cash, on his own, said, "No, Dad, they're Yodians." And I was like, okay, buddy. And that Yodian's name is Kevin until I'm told otherwise.
So Favreau went to keep it top secret, which honestly, that first episode, it got more heat and everybody was talking about it than anything else. I think Disney made a very smart play there.
Yep, agreed.
The reason merchandise won't be available before Christmas is that stuff takes about a year from production phase to development phase. And if you think about it, 90% of spoilers that we hear about, like the Marvel movies,
are leaked from the toy
because
companies.
Oh, this toy has this uniform on. This toy is being made.
Yeah,
they didn't want that, so we're gonna miss Christmas. Same thing happened a couple of years back with the Baby Groot.
Yep.
It didn't get into production until after Christmas, and then come January, February,
they were everywhere.
There was Baby Groot everywhere.
Right.
So There is a lady on Etsy that's making makes a really lifelike looking baby Yoda.
I saw that.
For $400 and some odd.
Which I'm sure the sculpt time on that is.
Yes.
She put the work in.
Did you look at the rest of her page with the gremlins?
Yeah.
And she does amazing work.
Which all she did was.
Listen, that chick's got value, man. Yes. She's providing a service.
Whatever. She sculpted a Mogwai already. Whatever. She just shaved it.
How do people on Etsy like that not get sued by Disney?
It's their low key.
On the way.
Disney has been known to be litigious against daycares for having Mickey Mouse on their
right. Yeah. Right.
So here's the deal: can we not get a conjoined baby Yoda and Mogwai?
The conjoined
twin,
conjoined triangles of success
in perfect. I mean, I would pay a lot of money for that.
I can 3D print out some baby Yodas for you. I got
Sam.
The
yeah, buddy.
Let's talk after the show.
So, speaking of which, it's Travis's wife, Jen, is a knitter, and she likes to...
What did you say?
She's a knitter.
Knitter. Okay.
Yeah, and knits, crochets.
Uh-huh.
And she makes little adorable yarn dolls, much like this Usagi Yojimbo that she made me.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
She made me a Snorlax?
Yeah. She made a baby Yoda the other day that is absolutely delightful. And the key to it was she took a pug and added the ears to it and then went and bought really big black eyes.
Okay. So here's what I have to say about that. I am 7 times removed by marriage related to her.
Yeah.
But no one knows that except for you, Gage.
Right.
And now our listeners.
And now I'm going to call in a favor.
You're like, listen,
because I need some Sam, I'm not sorry on that one.
He did point to you.
Yes. I called it.
But you're over there playing
God.
Candy Crush.
You wish.
Oh, hey.
I do wish.
Nintendo.
We've got 10 minutes.
We know.
What?
Oh, this one's going long. Split it into 2 episodes.
More like 12.
Cage,
like,
we're taking 2 weeks off, right?
Not this week.
What?
During Christmas.
That's fine. Split this into 2 episodes.
When do I get told these things?
at the next production meeting.
It'll happen the week they were taken off.
Yeah. I'll call you.
I'm stupid.
Okay,
I'm
Derek.
Sorry.
Derek. Okay. Okay, Derek.
Yep. Thanks.
So did you have another? Are we gonna keep talking about Mando? Because I'm into that too,
dude. I could do 7 hours
do a
on this.
Corner?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
God, I hate everyone.
Segway.
I hate everyone here.
Sam.
Push the button.
Sam
the
is...
The Comics Corner music, dog.
He's playing solitaire on his iPad.
I'm just talking like Terry.
This is my favorite episode we've ever recorded, I promise you. No, don't.
Can we record 9 hours and just chop it up? I'm not done here.
Well, hello, everyone.
Yeah!
Stuck the landing!
Welcome on down to the Comics Corner in this chaotic as hell episode that we have here today.
This is so bananas. I'm absolutely in love with this episode.
Best episode ever.
All right. So let's start the best episode off with a great comic. Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons, number 3. And this has just been a delightful comic book. And it's getting into the minutiae of how ridiculous old D&D players can get with their game. And it's really delightful. And, monsters have attacked from the world of D&D into our world, a la The Realm, if you've ever read that comic. It's kind of the same thing. So Rick and Morty does The Realm, is what this book is turning into.
Nice.
So,
nice.
If that does anything for you.
That's actually what I expected from the first run, to be honest with you. And the first run... being kind of a beautiful homage to each edition.
Exactly.
As it went through was perfect for what it was, but this is what I wanted.
Yep.
Did anybody get to see Rick and Morty this week?
No, I haven't watched it yet. No spoilers.
Okay, it's a heist movie, though.
Simmer down.
Oh, really?
Simmer down, Uncle Donnie.
You don't know me in heist movies.
I love heist movies. Did you read the Star Wars novel that was...
No.
It was...
I don't read Star Wars novels.
Okay. Oh, my God.
I know. I'm a horrible human.
Who is this guy?
We got Killadelphia, number 1.
Did you read that?
Is it based on the Roots album of the same name?
No, it's a Tom Hanks movie.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
So,
Wilson!
I need to read this. I have not yet, but it
looks
really
good. That's a callback, folks.
So, anyways, that's out. Picard... the countdown to the Star Trek show Picard has started in comic book form.
Interesting. How was
fancy
that?
Little, I haven't read it, but they do this a lot with their TV shows. If like you're a Star Trek fan and you want to kind of get hit the ground running with what's going on and like the situation that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is a book for you.
So Joe Hill's Basket Full of Heads.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Hill's
Basket
Full of Heads.
This is issue 2?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, issue 2. I'm absolutely loving this comic.
Oh, there you go.
That's a convenient cut.
Yeah.
I had a question about this one.
Yes.
So Hellblazer.
Yes.
Returns. Is all of Vertigo now basically just Black Label? Is that what is the switch has happened?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We actually did that as a news story like 6 months ago.
No, we talked.
Do you listen, Donnie?
We talked about Vertigo being disbanded. We never said it was all going to be Black Label.
No, we did. That was actually part of that same story.
Yeah, I disagreed.
So, no, well, it's what it has been is after the Batawang, if you all remember the Batawang. They had to put the cool heels on the Black Label thing because they had all the controversy, the 1 million moms whoever was complaining about it.
Seven-second delay.
Put it on the back seat.
It got there.
For a little while. I think their plan was to always originally always bring all the Sandman stuff over to Black Label.
Yeah. Is it just Sandman or is it everything that was in under Vertigo, though? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know of any Vertigo comic books that are still I don't know of any that are being printed that are still under Vertigo. I don't know if they've completely killed Vertigo forever, but at least I am not aware of Vertigo stuff being published right now.
But Sandman was the Vertigo.
Exactly.
The Sandman universe.
The reason I'm asking is because I told Travis I wanted to get all of the large format Black Label stuff.
Yeah.
But if Hellblazer is being rolled over, then I need to expand my pull.
So Hellblazer's number one came out last week or the week before.
So they
This is John Constantine Hellblazer.
I think that last one was a special to wrap up the story that they had been working on before that. But I think it's actually still the same writer, if I'm not much mistaken.
Oh,
so,
no, it is. I think it was their issue zero.
Right.
Essentially.
Okay. Got it. So
but there's two number ones to this series.
Yep. Both of which are on the shelf currently downstairs. So if you want to check those out, they're there.
I read it this afternoon. It is phenomenal.
Awesome.
Donnie's left-handed.
I'm going to end DC on a Tales from the Dark Multiverse Infinite Crisis.
So I didn't get the first two, but I've got the last two.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck is Marvel not suing them for impoachment?
Elseworld? What if?
What if? They've got a Watcher character introducing...
That's exactly what these are. Corey, you have a question?
Impoachment?
Impoachment.
Impoachment.
Oh, that's not a word. That is not a word.
So, though that's not a word, Donnie's not wrong in the idea because this is absolutely DC's what if. Not even Elseworlds where, it's like a different
this
world.
This is straight up stealing the what if. Because they've got a character that actually introduces the whole inner universe. He's a giant mystical guy out in space, just like the Watcher. This is straight up poaching that character.
They should have had it been Mitsublik.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't care at all. They poach each other's ideas all the damn time.
Yeah, but usually they're not quite this blatant about it.
True. Cool. That's fine. You're right. I don't care.
DC's version of the middle finger to Marvel? Is that
Black Cat is Catwoman. It's fine.
So this specific book is about what if the situation that happened between Ted Kord investigating Maxwell Lord and finding out that he was in control of this huge conspiracy was flipped, and instead of Max Lord killing Ted Kord, Ted Kord kills Max Lord. It's an awesome comic.
It was
a very good story.
Cool. Okay.
It sounds cool.
Like I said, I missed the first two, the Batman and the Superman one, which, if you guys still got them, I need to pick them up. But
we might.
Yeah. As soon as I opened that first issue, I was like, how are they getting away with this?
Because they do it to each other all the time.
Criminal impoachment. But they are extremely good stories. Are they going to do a collected trade of that?
Okay. Yes. And they're actually going to include one comic book from each of them that gives context to what is going on in the what if.
Okay.
Because it's a what if. You're not wrong.
Right.
So moving over to Marvel. We had three of the new X-Men books drop all in the same week. I actually really liked what's going on in Fallen Angels. It could be the art. Okay, Sam, we have 5 minutes left. I get it.
Oh, he's getting salty.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to rush. So Fallen Angels, X-Force, and New Mutants all had their second issues out this week. I haven't read X-Force or New Mutants yet. It looks like... Okay. It's been more than a couple of weeks. Okay, so you know how that whole incident happens with Xavier?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, not that. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah, it is. Hold on. Ads. I'm looking for the ad. Oh, okay. Looking for the ad. Nope. Okay. There's a comic book coming out called the Fantastic Four versus the X-Men, which they have done many times before. And this is the audible part that I was looking for. I'm not going to find it. They've there on the cover is Xavier standing next to Storm.
They did the same thing before all this launched, after they killed Wolverine, and then they showed him on the cover of five new X-Men comics. So
yep. So that, you know, it's a thing that they don't really keep under wraps for very long.
George, caring. Yes. You had worried about me and Valiant Comics. I am dedicating that fart noise directly to forever to the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Eternally.
So this one, 2099 series.
Punisher 2099.
Ooh. So that was it was really good. Corey had asked last week, yes.
Okay.
He had asked last week if Ravage 2099 was going to be there. And the cover of the Spider-Man 2099 had Ravage on the cover.
I saw that.
So there's a chance he's still there.
I'm really excited. This I picked up. And there are some differences in the new Punisher 2099.
There was with the Spider-Man too.
But I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed
the original series. I can't wait to read the new one.
Yeah, so. They've changed the whole universe a little bit. Like, there's tweaks there and there, but it was still an enjoyable read. So I'm looking forward to where they're going to go with this universe.
Right on. That brings us to our collected editions this week. We had Stranger Things 6, which sounds weird. It focuses on the character of 6, who would be then at that point 5 subjects, like test subjects that 11 had been tested by before her in the project that they're working on. That's a super convoluted way. The 6th test subject, of which we know 11 only from the TV show.
5 before 11 is all.
There you go. I guess she does meet at least one of the other people in season in 2 show, when she gets kind of that little sensei training of, you know, controlling her powers and stuff. But this goes back even further and shows an earlier time in the program that the evil corporation that was experimenting on children was working on.
I forgot. I still haven't seen season 3 all the way through yet.
Oh, you should watch that. It's good.
Have you seen it all the way through?
Yeah.
You finished a season of something?
Yeah.
Good job.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah, right?
I got tired of waiting for snow.
Yeah, that's fair. Another one from Dark Horse this week. Long awaited on my end, and I'm looking forward to pick this up. From the world of Hellboy. No? Okay. Sir Edward Grey, Sir Edward Grey, Witchfinder, the Omnibus, first volume. And this is 3, like, $20 or $25 collected editions together in a hardcover edition for $34.99.
Yeah, it's stellar.
Neat.
This is the same omnibus style that they've done with the BPRD from start to nearly finish at this point.
Yep.
And it's just a sweetheart of a deal. Sir Edward Grey Witchfinder is a character that exists in the world of Hellboy, and through the occult means that exist within the world of Hellboy, he's able to assist Hellboy way later on in the timeline with a kind of a ghostly kind of a presence.
Apparition.
Yep.
It's really, really, really good.
This stuff takes place before the 1900s, and so it is definitely like earlier history in Hellboy's world.
I want them to do that with Lobster Johnson.
Oh my God. Yeah, me too. It's only a matter of time, man. It is.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we just watched the trailer of this before the show, or at least I did. But we have a really, really affordable Bloodshot definitive edition from Valiant. And this is the first Bloodshot run that they started up with when Valiant relaunched back like maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago. And it's a collected edition with 14 comics in it for $24.99. And it's the beginning of what you would want to read. So if you watch the trailer and it looks good, this is definitely the book to pick up, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
So I had a question for you for DC graphic novels. Mm-hmm. I've noticed recently that the series ends, and within a week or two, the graphic novel is out. Is that the new norm for DC? Can we expect graphic novels to be out as soon as the series ends?
As soon as you expect DC or Marvel to do something, they'll stop.
I gotcha.
But there will be certain releases that are important to them that are maybe more like tentpole, like, you know, how Marvel considers their summer movies to be tentpoles. Like, Deceased is an event that I think was successful more than they thought it was going to be. But I've even seen next year they're going to have a little spinoff that's like what the villain characters were doing while everything was going on. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 3-issue run, Black Label, and it will have a collected edition out less than a month after it's done.
Because I've got a wife who hates reading single issues, despises it. And there's a lot of stuff I'd like her to read.
Mm-hmm.
And I will stop getting single issues if they're going to be out within a month of the end
of the run.
Right.
It's going to be sporadic, but it'll happen sometimes.
Before, it was like 3, 4, or 5 months down the road, you might get the graphic novel finally, and you never knew.
Oftentimes, it was six.
Yeah.
It was about a run behind.
I'm really enjoying the fact that DC, you know, finishes a run, and then within a couple of weeks, I can get that graphic novel. So if that's the way they're going to do it, I wish they'd keep it up.
Right on.
I hope they do.
Right. Well,
before we wrap it up.
Yes.
This is our third Thanksgiving episode.
It is.
We're not stuffed full of food this episode. We ran a little bit, you know, low, and we want to thank Gus for filling in.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
But we have always gone around the table and done what we were thankful for.
Around the horn.
So, Donnie, would you like to start us off?
On the spot.
Oh,
yeah, buddy.
God.
This year I'm thankful that I landed on my feet in my other job. This year's been a little tough. The company I originally worked for the last almost decade got sold out, such as healthcare anymore. And I lost my job quite suddenly, and I actually landed a better job closer to home, better perks, I guess you could call it. As far as the show's concerned, I'm thankful I'm still here after shenanigans. I would love to say that this show is effortless for all of us, but
not even a little bit.
This show can drive me damn insane at times, and I'm thankful that all you put up with me being me at times and being prickly, I guess is the polite word for it.
All right.
So thank you for all putting up with my bull pucky.
You mean bullshit?
Yeah! Market, Sam.
Market ain't smoky.
I'm thankful for that, too. Gergi, you're up.
So I'm thankful for my dog.
Hobbs!
Yeah, baby.
What's your dog's name?
Hobbs.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God. Are you effing kidding me?
It's a list, Derek. Let me start my list in peace.
Shut the...
Okay. No, I'm trying to hump your leg right now. Like, that's the most amazing pet name I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, you didn't know my dog's name was Hobbs?
No!
I'll show you a picture after
we need
podcast.
A play date.
Yeah. He'd love you. All right. Anyways.
I have a baby. I have a baby.
Weimaraner.
Yes.
I've seen it. Yeah. It's adorable.
Got that, too. So.
But also, I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for all of you.
Aww.
Thanks, Gergie.
Yeah.
D, you're up.
Whoa. This is tough for me. This is a really hard time of year for me.
Yeah.
A lot of things happen in the fall, man. And 4 years ago, my old man died a couple days from here. So it's been really tough. But I will say that I'm very thankful that this group of friends has accepted me. Because I know it's a hard fraternity to pledge to.
True.
It's very hard when you have an entire group of introverts that doesn't really want to talk to strangers. Like, it's hard to break in, man. So I kind of feel like, you know, I've proved myself that I'm one of you guys.
Yeah, buddy.
So I love that. So I'm really thankful for you guys. You know, I've got a hard, stressed job. It's very tough. It's demanding. I piss you guys off.
And also make us laugh.
I would like to say I'm thankful for your optimism, Derek. You're one of the...
I agree.
No, I'm serious here.
Thanks, man.
You're one of the most eternally optimistic people. You are the opposite side of my coin.
Sure.
We're
Two-Faced. We're Tommy Lee Jones, baby.
So
miscast.
Thank you for seeing the sunny side of life.
I'm the pretty side. You're the mangled, acid, messed up side, bro.
Thanks.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hey. No, but seriously, I it's just you know, when you're in a very stressful environment, it's nice that you guys have allowed me to come here.
Yeah, buddy.
Amanda, thank you. My wife also, and Amanda, the person that owns this production.
And my wife, Amanda.
And Pants.
Other Amanda.
Yes.
All Amanda's.
We have a lot of Amandas, but I'm just appreciative that you guys have allowed me to spend an hour a week, although I spend probably 20 or 30 on prep for the show. But an hour a week, I get to come and have a creative outlet. It's very helpful. So I love you guys.
Gus, you want to throw in on this?
Yes, I'm very thankful for a lot of things this year. I'm thankful for my job. I work with a lot of great people. I'm thankful for my family who helped me out in a great deal. I have everything that I ever needed at the moment, including a new mattress, which
yeah.
on you right now.
Mattress outlet, not a paid advertisement.
5 years, you'll buy a new one. You'll never be so in love with anything in your entire life.
That's awesome.
But I'm thankful for being here. I'm thankful for all you guys. You guys are wonderful. I've had a great time.
Awesome. Thank you so thanks for being here.
Man on the couch.
Samael.
Oh, yeah.
We're skipping you?
Cutthroat Island.
Cage is going to wrap it up.
Okay. I think I'm just grateful for everything that I have because it's all that I need. And this job. I guess which, like, I see grateful to Corey because he's the one who gave me this job.
Cage.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah.
Saint Cage.
And I know I'm not a very complicated person. I don't need a lot.
You have a pipe.
Yeah.
Like a grandpa pipe.
Two of them. Yeah.
So you're pretty complicated,
come on,
bro.
It's
yeah,
a
Gandalf. Let's
call it what it is. It's a Gandalf pipe.
It's all relative.
It's a Gandalf pipe.
Well, there's two.
Okay.
Yeah. The other one's more of a lighthouse keeper.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sailor pipe.
Yeah.
But my health, my family's health.
Yeah.
All the basics, I guess.
Good stuff.
I'm not very extravagant.
That's all right. That's all right.
Cage, before you go, can I set you up?
Yeah, buddy.
We also have a cast member here tonight that wasn't able to make it.
Katie.
But Katie. Katie is the yin to our yang.
I think it's the other way around, but yeah.
Listen, I didn't study Chinese philosophy.
Technically, that's right.
Piss off, Corey.
Okay. Yeah.
Katie keeps us grounded. She's just completely honest all the time. She calls out her bullshit. Can you guys, everyone agrees with that?
I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
She will call out her bullshit. But she also, like, when everybody loves something, she's going to tell us why we should hate it. Yeah. And that is the most punk rock thing I have ever heard in my life. And so I wish she was here tonight to give thanks. This is also a very difficult time of year for her. So, Katie, you are a very amazing, integral part of this podcast. We miss you tonight. We give thanks for you for keeping us straight because we, as you heard this episode, it's... I didn't mean to use that. Bleep that, Sam. It's ridiculous without you.
On also, I think we should
running out of room.
I know.
No, I mean just right.
Mark, not Mark.
Cut that, Sam.
Greg.
So I'm getting there. That's what I was gonna say.
Okay. We'll set up Cage. Continue. Sorry.
So I absolutely want to start off with I'm thankful to Greg Martin and Ian Martin. Two members of this podcast that this podcast wouldn't exist without them.
Mm-hmm.
One of us left us for a job opportunity and the other one has left this realm. And I'm thankful for the time that we got to spend with Ian very much. I'm very thankful to all of his contributions. He loved this podcast more than just about anything else. And even though he constantly wanted to quit. But to the whole Martin family, we're thinking about you at this time of year. Absolutely. I want to thank personally my wife, who tolerates so much more than anyone should be expected to from me. And I am wonderfully thankful that after years and years and years, Derek, Donnie,
yep,
and I all have stumbled our way into getting to talk in front of microphones.
how in the hell are any of the three of us still alive?
But we all started off with this as something we wanted to do, and that was talking into a microphone for a living. And you know, while we're not making much of a living doing it, we're we're still going out, and you know, I went out and I achieved anyway. Ha ha! And with that, the dude abides to the wives.
To the wives.
And Hobbs.
Sure.
Donnie?
Send us home, Uncle Donnie.
So it's snowing outside, folks, so drive safely.
Shut up.
So it's snowing outside, folks, so drive safely. And
I said shut up.
So it's snowing outside, folks. And
from all of us at AU Radio, we hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and tune in next week where we actually have news.
This is, hey, we really hope that you've run all the kids out of the kitchen while you're listening to this.
Impossible.
This will be the one episode Amanda listens to.
Yeah, probably. Well, oh God. And so we'll never see you again. We love you.
And with that, folks,
we are out of here.
Nothing can kill the Grimace.
Nothing can kill the Grimace. Kill the
Grimace. You can kill the Grimace.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by CubbyAndBenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio Podcast is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.
Like to contact the show, follow us on Twitter at AU_radio, Facebook at AU Radio Podcast, Instagram at AU.radio, or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the shows on AU Radio by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Network. Find us on Patreon as AU Radio at Adventures Underground. You can help us create this podcast and soon several others with as little as a dollar a month. Thanks for listening.